Welcome to the Emmaus Bible Hour. This is a program for you and your family, a time to open the Bible and see what God has to say to us from His Word. Preachers have problems? Do they have temptations like you do? C.H. Spurgeon, who preached many sermons and his books are still very much in demand, wrote in his autobiography, "My own experience is a daily struggle with the evil within. I wish I could find in myself something friendly to grace. I have searched my nature through and have found everything in rebellion against God. At one time, there comes the torpor of sloth, at another the quickness of passion, the unadvised word. I'm troubled with conceit." It was the Apostle Paul in Romans 7 that cried out, "Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death?" Now we're not studying Romans, as you well know. But here in our verses in Galatians, we're going to deal with this problem of the flesh and its lusts and the Spirit. Before we look at those verses in Galatians chapter 5, may I remind you that we're anxious to send you this complete set of lessons on Galatians. Please write to us for information this week. Our address will be given in the closing moments of this program, so be ready with pencil and paper. Now let's read together Galatians 5, verses 16 through 18. "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." That was Galatians 5, verses 16 through 18. From the New American Standard Bible. Having clearly shown that holiness is not produced by the law, Paul now proceeds to explain that the Holy Spirit is the believer's power for godly living. Under the law, a man could rise no higher than his own limited ability. Under grace, he has at his disposal the unlimited ability of the Spirit of God. Someone has commented, "The problem of the Christian life is based on the fact that so long as the Christian lives in this world, he is, so to speak, two trees, the old tree of the flesh and the new tree of the divine nature implanted by the new birth. And the problem itself is how to keep barren the old tree and to make fruitful the new tree. The problem is solved by walking in the Spirit." This verse about walking in the Spirit and those that follow show that the flesh is still very much present with the Christian. The idea of the eradication of the sinful nature is thus not taught by Paul. It is even refuted. The Spirit and the flesh are in constant conflict. Now, God could have eradicated or removed the fleshly nature from believers at the time of their salvation. He did not choose to do so. He wanted to keep us continually reminded of our own weakness. This keeps us continually dependent on Christ, our priest, an advocate. It should cause us to praise Him continually, the one who saved such worms as we are. Instead of removing the old nature, God gives us His own Holy Spirit to indwell us. God's Spirit and our flesh are perpetually at war and will continually be at war until we are taken home to heaven. As believers, our part in the conflict is to yield to the Spirit. A man described it this way, "It's as though I had a black dog within me, which is the flesh, and also a white dog within me, representing the Spirit, and they are battling for the control of my life. Someone asked the man, "Well, then, which one wins?" The man answered, "The one that I feed the most." Let's pause and consider this struggle in our own lives as the music plays. And maybe ask yourself the question, what am I really feeding or encouraging in my life by the things I read, the things I see, and the places I go? Ready to look at page 74 in our lesson manual on Galatians. And by the way, if you don't have a lesson manual, why not write to us this week for information on this course? Our address is given in the final moments of each program. Now we come to the works of the flesh, and let's read Galatians 5, verses 19 through 21. By the way, this is not a very pretty picture. As we look into the mirror of God's Word, we begin with Galatians 5, verse 19. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envyings, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. I'm sure you understand the meanings of most of these words. But just a few comments. Idolatry is not only the worship of idols, but also the immorality that accompanies demon worship. Sorcery is witchcraft, literally the use of drugs. It is the root word from which we get our word for pharmacy. Because drugs were used in sorcery, the word came to mean intercourse with evil spirits. Strife is discord, which leads to quarrels. Factions are formations of parties because of a desire to win followers. Paul warns his readers, as he had told them before, that those who practice these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. The passage does not teach that a drunkard cannot be saved, but it does say that those whose lives are characterized by the catalog of fleshly works that we've just read are not saved. You may ask, why would Paul write in this manner to churches of Christians? The reason is that not all who profess to be saved are true children of God. Thus, throughout the New Testament, the Holy Spirit often follows the presentation of wonderful spiritual truths with the most solemn warnings to all who profess the name of Christ. Now, the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. We've just read that familiar passage of Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. It is significant that the Apostle Paul distinguishes between the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. Works are produced by human energy. Fruit is grown as a branch abides in the vine. They are as different as a factory and a garden. I'll repeat that. They are as different as a factory and a garden. Note that fruit is singular, not plural. The Holy Spirit produces one kind of fruit, that is, likeness to Christ. We see all of this in the life of the Son of God. Someone has pointed out that every one of them is foreign to the soil of the human heart. Now a closer look. Love is what God is and what we ought to be. It is beautifully described in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter of the Bible. This was expressed in its fullness at Calvary. Joy is contentment and satisfaction with God and His dealings. Peace would include the peace of God as well as harmonious relations among Christians. Patience has to do with afflictions, annoyances, and persecutions. Kindness is gentleness, perhaps best seen in the attitude of the Lord Jesus toward little children. Goodness is kindness shown to others. Faithfulness may mean trust in God, confidence in our fellow Christians, fidelity, reliability. Meekness is taking the lowly place, as Jesus did when he washed his disciples' feet. There is a gentleness involved in that. Then temperance, or better translated, self-control. Our lives should be disciplined. Lust, passions, appetites, and temper should be ruled. We should practice moderation. Samuel Chadwick comments, in newspaper English, the passage reads something like this. The fruit of the Spirit is an affectionate, lovable disposition, a radiant spirit and a cheerful temper, a tranquil mind and a quiet manner, a forbearing patience in provoking circumstances and with trying people, a sympathetic insight and tactful helpfulness, generous judgment and big soul charity, loyalty and reliability under all circumstances, humility that forgets self in the joy of others, in all things self-mastered and self-controlled. What a beautiful way to close this broadcast with the fruit of the Spirit. Can we produce these by self-effort? Not for one moment. Just as the branch gets all its life and nourishment from the vine, so we as believers get our strength from the true vine, the Lord Jesus Christ. And thus we are able to live a fruitful life for God. If you've been helped by these studies in Galatians, let us know. If you have questions or would like this entire set of lessons, please write to us this week for information. You've been listening to the Emmaus Bible Hour.